Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week my guest is Dr. Tracy Erfling. She's a naturopathic physician in practice in Astoria, and we're going to talk about the health of kids. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So let's start with what's out there. What's the general, you know, trends with health with kids?
Well, I just recently, it's funny, I've been asking to have more continuing ed on children's health for the many years I've been in practice. And this year, there's like two different seminars available for naturopaths regarding pediatrics. So I just went to one. I'm going to be going to another one the end of this month. And I found that the last one I went to was a really nice overview. So I'm going to kind of play on that same theme. And I think in general, we can all recognize that our health overall is not as good as it used to be. And certainly the health of our kids is not as good as it used to be. And so just some factoids that were passed along from this conference. The CDC report from 2007-2008 reported that obesity is perceived as a larger threat to health than smoking, alcohol, and poverty combined.
Whoa.
So that, you know, that was almost 4 years ago.
That's shocking, and it certainly hasn't improved.
Yeah. Diabetes is the fastest growing disease in children.
And are we talking about type 2?
Type 2 diabetes,
and
correct.
This is not the kind that children are ever supposed to have.
Correct. That was, you know, it used
to be
called
adult onset.
Adult onset. And then because so many younger people were starting to get it, they had to rename it to type 2 instead of type 1, which often does arise in younger people, sometimes children.
Mm-hmm.
5 million children were diagnosed with ADHD in this period, span of time. 7 million children were diagnosed with asthma, and 3 million children were diagnosed with allergies. So I think those are kind of some of the top ones we're going to hit today. I think any parent out there can relate to one of those three conditions: obesity, ADHD, or allergies and asthma. So the question is, you know, why what's different, and why is our health declining overall? I think that, you know, people as well as children are no longer receiving a really strong foundation in health. They have a lack of good nutrition, whether that's, you know, real food, not processed food. The variety of food that they're not receiving, I think, is being detrimental to their health.
Right. People are eating a very small group of foods these days.
Yes.
Smaller and smaller.
Yes.
There are fewer choices. Even though the store is full of stuff,
right,
there's very little food in the store.
Yes. And I think there's also a real lack of activity, both physical and mental activity for kids. So I think that, you know, the habits of the past would be to send your kids outside, send them to the neighbor's house. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot more sort of phobia about the safety of our children, as well as potentially, you know, obviously all the screens that are out there that are kind of corrupting our the minds of our children.
Right, whether it's texting, Facebook, TV,
computer, TV,
movies.
DS, you know, there's a litany of choices, mm-hmm, in the screen variety. I think there's a lack of good quality sleep. Again, I think this is just overall in the population, but definitely is affecting, mm-hmm, our kids. I think there's also a lack of knowledge about the body's ability to heal. I think we've become very dependent upon the medical system, and so we have a lot less inherent knowledge about how to heal ourselves and to heal our kids. And so every little sniffle, sore throat, you know, whatever, we go off to the doctor because we don't have confidence in our own ability to heal, or we don't have the tools available to us to give our bodies the ability to heal.
And most things do.
Yeah, and it's true. Most things eventually just heal themselves, and, mm-hmm, it just takes a little TLC.
And they're not life-threatening.
Right, right.
I mean, certainly with life-threatening problems, we should seek medical care.
Right, and I was about to say, I'm not going to downplay the idea of going to the doctor when something is wrong, but I think there's maybe a little overuse of the system for some maybe simple things that we could just have a little wait and see attitude about.
Right.
I also think that kids are experiencing a higher level of stress. I think that, you know, the family unit is stressed. I think that just our environment is stressed. I'm sure school for a lot of kids is stressful, social situations. And, you know, some of this is true regardless of when you grew up. But I feel like that there's more of that around now. We're much more of a go, go, go kind of society than we used to be back in the day. Or when you were living on a farm, you know, there were certainly stressful events, but every day wasn't get up at 6 and get out of the door by 7 and, you know, that kind of thing. There's also a higher number of kids that are being medicated, whether that's for ADHD, depression, pain, cholesterol, diabetes. You know, there's a lot of medications that kids are exposed to that they probably weren't exposed to 20, 30, 50 years ago.
Yep, that's definitely true.
So I think all these things combine to really deteriorate sort of the foundation of health for kids. And then also just thinking about, you know, the mother or the parents prior to pregnancy or during pregnancy, you know, all these factors could be also attributable to their health at that phase, because certainly the building blocks were being established even during pregnancy or during conception.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So, let's venture into some of these topics in a little more detail. Obesity, you know, I kind of think about obesity being sort of equal to poor nutrition and inactivity. I think those are probably the things we could chalk up as being the top offenders or contributors to obesity. There certainly are genetic factors. I think that people recognize that when there are obese parents, then there's a greater likeliness of the child to be obese. Now, is that a learned behavior? Quite possibly. But there's a really interesting new field called epigenetics. Are you familiar with epigenetics?
I'm not.
So epigenetics is a new sort of subfield within genetics that's showing us that there really is a way for us to change our genetic makeup. And whether that's through good quality nutrition or, you know, different activities, certainly the medical pharmaceutical world is kind of looking at this as a possibility for pharmaceuticals. But just the possibility that the influences in our environment and our nutrition can change our genetics is I think, a really eye-opening idea.
Well, it's also hopeful.
It's very hopeful.
We're not just stuck with what we were,
right?
You know, given.
And I think that, you know, like my father's a medical doctor, and that's always been drilled into me, is that, you know, your genetics is that, you know, that's
your foundation.
That's your foundation. You know, there's really no way to change that. But I think that the research is showing that there really is. So for those that are, you know, curious about this, it's epi, like EPI, and then genetics, all one word. There's quite a few resources out there to teach you about that if you're interested in epigenetics. I think obesity also, there is certainly a lack of nutrients. So I think about B vitamins, because B vitamins are very essential to helping the whole blood sugar insulin picture work well. Also helping the liver, which a lot of blood sugar storage and blood sugar release is monitored through the liver. Magnesium, kind of for similar reasons, a mineral that will help with blood sugar control. Chromium, which is a trace mineral, which helps the cells to better respond to the message of insulin. So when insulin comes and meets a cell, it has to sort of have a little key to unlock and allow the glucose in. Chromium is one of the very essential little pieces that helps the key and the lock to respond to each other. So I really find that to be an important nutrient. They say that kids that have adequate vitamin D levels have less incidence of obesity. So I would say vitamin D. We all know that's lacking. We're getting in the season now where we're going to start paying attention to that.
Yep.
And then essential fatty acids. Again, essential fatty acids are something that helps the body respond on a cellular level, because it helps to create the sort of coat of our cell or the membrane of the cell to allow things to fluidly pass between in and out of the cell, whether that's, you know, good things coming in or bad things being able to leave.
Okay, so in practical terms, what does this mean for mom and dad to get proper nutrition? How do you get these things? Like,
yeah.
B vitamins taste yucky and kids won't take those big pills that we take.
Right, right. So there's, you do have to be creative with kids for sure, taking vitamins. So I think that there's some liquids out there that might be a greater potential. I kind of am in love with smoothies because I feel like you can put just about anything in a smoothie and it can pass through the palate of most kids.
Oh.
I have a particularly picky kid myself, and I can't even tell you the things that I can put into a smoothie that he will just drink right down.
As in, like, vitamins, minerals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Different kind of protein powders. And I just put a bunch of spinach and kale or beet leaves. I mean, things that he would never dream of just putting into his mouth on their own. And there they go. Down the gullet.
Oh, nice. So he's getting more nutrition. Okay. So,
and you know, the other nice thing is that it's in a very nicely digestible form. It's already all masticated for you because the blender or whatever unit you have is doing that for you. So it's really ready just to digest away.
So do you think that's a good way to start the day then? You throw all the greens and the protein and maybe some yogurt or some...
I don't know. There's emulsified vitamin D drops you could put into that. There's all sorts of powders and liquid vitamins you could get. And I think that, yeah, just adding good quality foods in there as well.
So some berries.
Yep, berries. I have a lot of, I got a lot of peaches from the market, and mm-hmm. I just chopped them up and froze them so I can just put these chunks of peaches mm-hmm. in there.
I can.
Yeah.
I decided that if we had a storm and we lost everything in the freezer, I'd rather have the bottles of peaches rather than having them rot in the freezer.
Yeah, that's very true. Definitely true.
I was just thinking about the 2007 storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I opted for canning.
Use it or lose it, right?
Right.
There's also quite a few hormones that can contribute to blood sugar control. And I'm not going to go into this in great detail because it is a rather complicated system. But there are hormones that help the body feel full. And there are hormones that tell the body that it's hungry. And so there's a great balance between these two, especially when a kid is eating, that will help kind of control that aspect. And there, you know, this maybe gets a little bit more into... a more complicated sort of scientific protocol than just, you know, B vitamins or chromium. But I think there will continue to be more emerging in that particular category if overeating or trouble feeling satiated is kind of part of the issue with obesity.
And is there something simple that someone can do?
Well, exercise. That's super simple. It helps to lower blood sugar levels for hours after you exercise. So they say 10 minutes of something very moderate, like a walk, will help to moderate your blood sugar levels for 6 hours after you do it. So, you know,
you drag your kid out after dinner.
Yeah. Or you know, you make dinner. Your kid walk to the bus stop in the morning and, you know, maybe pick a bus stop that's not like right across the street from your house.
Right.
And then, yeah, maybe you take a little afternoon walk. Or we put up a basketball hoop across the street from our house. So we, you know, when it's nice out, we play, you know, 10 minutes of basketball in the mm-hmm. evening, either mm-hmm. before or after dinner. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of ways to get activity in that doesn't have to be, like, intensive.
I like the idea that of thinking of exercise as part of your nutrition.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because it integrates it into another facet of your life.
Well, I think this is a really interesting thing about diabetes that I've noticed is that the system that we have now is controlling the blood sugar after the fact.
Right.
And so if we use good quality diet and exercise, then we don't have to get to that point because the blood sugar never gets out of... It's much less likely that the blood sugar gets out of balance when you're thinking about your nutrition and your exercise as a way to control your blood sugars.
So exercise every day, something, even a walk, mm-hmm. will lower blood sugar and make you more satisfied. So you'll be less eating less.
Mm-hmm.
Your system will be more in balance.
Yeah, yeah.
Sleep better. It kind of...
Exercise is like one of the best medicines out there. I mean, I can't think of anything that it doesn't improve.
The studies on walking are pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more, and including allergies and some more solutions. You're listening to Your Health, and my guest is Dr. Tracy Erfling.
Dime por dónde vas. Si doblarás a tu izquierda, donde tus ojos ven, puede de suerte ser la más cierta. cabalga el viento, ve tan lejos donde el amor. Si no lo ves, canta conmigo.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin. I'm with Dr. Tracy Erfling. She's a naturopathic physician, and we're talking about children's health. So,
I think we're going to move on next to behavioral disorders.
Oh, great. Okay.
So I'm talking about things like ADHD, violence, depression, autism. I think that the mental health of our kids or the behavioral health of our kids is definitely being challenged right now. And is that because they're, you know, is that because the foundation's not there? Possibly. We were talking about the, you know, kind of foundation of health in the first half. Is it because kids are in classrooms where there's, you know, lots more kids and the teacher's having to control lots more kids, so therefore it's a lot easier to peg a kid with a condition than to really work on the foundation? Probably. That's part of it, too. I think there's also, you know, a significant amount of stress in kids' lives, and I think that really weighs on their behavior. So, and then, of course, you know, there's a lot of speculation about how vaccines contribute to, you know, the behavioral and emotional health of a kid. And I was telling Anne before the show, I don't really want to get into vaccines too much. I really think this is a parental decision. It's not my job or really any doctor's job to tell you to vaccinate your kids. I think that's something that you need to research and kind of figure out on your own, kind of weigh the pluses and minuses and come up with your decision. But I will give you some resources that I think are a little outside of maybe the norm. So there is actually one of my fellow naturopathic graduates and an immunologist. So a naturopath and an immunologist have teamed up to create this website called vaccineconsult.com. It's all one word. And they offer classes, but they also offer consultations to help you kind of piece through your particular kid and their challenges. And what I really like about this program is it very much individualizes it. So it's looking at, like, did your kid grow up around smokers? Do they go to daycare? Are they breastfed? A lot of things that contribute to positively and negatively their immune system. And also just looking at how the immune system is developing for your kid specifically and just overall, and how that plays into how they will respond to a vaccine. There's also a woman named Stephanie Cave, like K-A-V-E, Cave Animal Can Cave. And she writes a book like What Your Doctor Didn't Tell You About Vaccines, and kind of has, again, some, she's a medical doctor, so she has kind of that medical doctor-ishness, but then also just has some ideas about what, you know, alternative scheduling and blah, blah, blah. So those are a couple resources you can look at on your own to kind of figure out if that's something that is worthwhile for your kids or not. And then, you know, what is normal activity? Kind of talking about ADHD, I think that a lot of times
we've become pretty intolerant of especially boys' behavior in general. And it's almost like, oh, if you're a boy and you're not just sitting in the corner reading a book, then you must have a behavior problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you're jumping around. I mean, the way those behaviors were the normal for boys when I was growing up.
Yeah.
That's the way they were.
Yeah.
I think it's just the way they are.
Yeah.
So are they all sick now?
Right. And I think that that's just something that we need to kind of evaluate. And it's kind of funny that we're in such a busy, busy world, yet our kids can't be very busy, busy.
Right. They have to be catatonic in the corner.
Yeah. They have to allow for us to kind of go through our busy days and our busy lives and not really interrupt us too much. So, I think that's just something, you know, I just want to put out there, and I think it's worth examining and thinking about. I also think there are nutritional deficiencies, again, in this category. So, again, B vitamins, I think, are really important.
Essential.
For the neurosystem, for that whole neurological behavioral system.
And what I see is the addition of B vitamins calms a kid down.
It really does.
Helps them focus. They're less edgy,
mm-hmm.
less angry.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you wash that down with a soda pop, that's kind of negating
the Yeah, and I do want to talk about sugar, which I have kind of in my next section about allergies. But I think that sugar, well, we might as well just talk about it now. I think sugar is definitely something to watch for in the diet because it is in everything. My goodness, it's just really pervasive.
Well, and anything that's been processed.
Yeah.
It's not too much in things that are not processed.
Yeah, true. You're
I
right.
I mean, there's not much in some chicken or tofu or an apple or broccoli.
Right. Things that are recognizable, like from the garden kind of foods, are definitely not chock full of sugar. But anything processed, especially beverages. I think beverages are probably one of the biggest things to really monitor with your kids. And whether we're talking about juice or whether we're talking about soda, it's all there.
Or milk. You know, the kids at school, when they have a choice on milk, they all pick chocolate milk.
That's for sure. Yeah, I do this school lunch buddy program, and I mentor a kid, and I have lunch with her once a week. And there's like this whole cooler full of milk, and there's like two cartons of regular milk. I mean, like, you know, those milk carton things. And all the whole rest of the cooler is filled with chocolate milk. And I think maybe you see one kid per class not choose chocolate milk.
Right.
But, who's not going to?
Right, exactly. And of course, if they didn't offer it, they would they'd take the regular milk.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now they're getting another hit of sugar.
Right.
The chocolate's probably fine, but
and sugar is very irritating. It causes inflammation. It causes, obviously it causes a higher metabolic rate. So of course their brains and their bodies are going to be more active. But it really is an irritant to the system, especially the immune system, which is kind of why I wanted to talk about with allergies. Because it really depletes the functioning of the immune system.
And just what you want after lunch.
Right.
You know, for the teacher, for the parents when they get home, is an irritated kid.
Right, right. A hungry, irritated
and
kid.
Right, it's famished.
Because, when you take on a high sugar something, then you have a lot of energy and then you crash. You know, then your blood sugars really drop below where they started. So I think it is really hard on the system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so again, with ADHD, all these behavioral things, we also want to think about essential fatty acids. You know, the brain and the nervous system is all just bathed in fats. And if those are, again, sort of those poor quality irritating fats, then that's going to be a poor quality irritated system. So we need to have those really good essential fatty acids there to help the body to
fish
translate all those messages clearly. So yeah, fish, raw nuts and seeds.
Mm-hmm.
A good way to get raw fish into kids is sushi. And most kids like sushi. So go for it is what I say. Tell parents, get your kids to eat some sushi. I was just going to think of another raw. Well, if you can get, raw unpasteurized milk, that's another great raw protein form that has some good essential fatty acids in it as well. And that's becoming a little more available, thankfully.
Or goat. Goat milk.
Goat milk also would be an option.
Mm-hmm. It's a little more difficult to find.
Yeah, yeah. So on to allergies and asthma. This is both talking about kind of food allergies and environmental allergies. I think that they're very intertwined. So when a kid has a lot of environmental allergies, I think often as a practitioner, I'm looking to the digestive system first and food allergies first. Because when we remove that everyday irritant again, then the immune system has a little break and can take on some of the other burdens a little more easily. I think we have a lot of germ phobia in our society. So, constantly sanitizing everything and having everything pasteurized and, there's just not a chance for good quality microflora to colonize our systems.
Right. It's better for the kids to eat a little dirt.
It really is.
Yeah.
And, the microflora in our gut is like 60% of our immune system. And then when we, add antibiotics into the whole picture, it takes the body a while to recover from that. It's not just like, I'm going to take, some acidophilus, for a week and be better. No, that's something you should really be doing for months and, kind of keeping up on the...
A lot of people think that the only way they can get that is through yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And dairy may be a thing that's bothering the kid.
Yeah, yeah. And, interestingly, like depending on the yogurt you choose, a lot of yogurt is very high in sugar.
Very.
There is a really awesome website that I got turned on to at my seminar called sugarstacks.com.
How do you spell that?
Sugar and then stacks, S-T-A-C-K-S. .com. And so basically you can go through all these categories of, desserts and breakfast foods and different beverages and vegetables and fruits, and it compares them all by sugar cubes, like how many sugar cubes. So it stacks them up, and it's very visual. It's great for kids. So I was going through it with Tovery, my son, and, you know, we were looking at like the big gulp as opposed to like, you know, another type of beverage, even just water, which didn't have any, obviously, or vitamin water, which is something he thinks is great, but there was still a lot of sugar, you know, which we don't really get, but he
thinks it's cool.
He thinks it's cool, exactly. And he, you know, he got it right away. And I think that it's a really good tool for kids because it's very visual and easy to be like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying, Mom.
Right. You know, and when your kid's older and they can read a label with you, when you say it can't have more than, and you say, well, pick an amount, you know, for us, I think it's like 7 or 8 grams. It can't have more than 7 or 8 grams of sugar in it. And of course, when they took that yogurt, it's, you know, like 35 or, right. or 20. And same thing, you know, with a drink that looks like it's pretty natural, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And it's loaded.
Yeah.
And they get that right away too. No, it's got to be 8 or less.
Uh-huh.
You
yeah.
can't find 8 or less. Good. Let's have water.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what your body needs anyway.
Well, and I think, you know, that was another one of my little things is just making sure that you encourage water drinking from an early, early age. You know, I think that's the beverage choice. And, you know, I think historically having juice or sodas, I mean, that was kind of a treat. Like you went out, you went down to the whatever shop and you got yourself a soda. Like that's a treat. You don't have that in your house every day as your option for every meal. You have water. And a lot of families do milk too. And, you know, there's some pluses and minuses to milk for sure. But I also think back to allergies and asthma that stress plays a big part on our digestive system. It really taxes the digestive system. I think a lot of people can understand the idea that they carry stress in their stomachs. And a lot of times when I see kids that have digestive issues, it is, you know, a lot of times revolving around a school issue or, you know, a social issue. And that sort of starts things and the stress just doesn't get addressed. And then again, just back to that whole lack of food variety. I think that's one of the reasons food allergies get set up to begin with is that I think we introduce grains a little too early. Grains tend to be one of the first things we introduce to you know, infants.
Cereal, right.
So I think that's part of the issue. You know, that's, I think, why we see so much gluten intolerance. You know, again, part, not all. But I think that the food introduction schedule is something definitely to consider and help with allergies in long term. So, and then a lot of the same things apply as far as nutritional deficiencies, you know, making sure that they have adequate stuff to help with their immune system. So probiotics, vitamin D. I really like L-glutamine. It's a amino acid that helps to kind of rebuild the integrity of the gut.
Once you've taken out the irritant.
Exactly, yeah. And it's really rich in cabbage. So sometimes if you can do like some steamed cabbage pureed into your smoothie.
Could it be raw cabbage in the...
Raw is a little harder on the thyroid. So I just watched that a little bit. But it could be raw cabbage, yeah.
Okay.
So, So in our last, do we have any last minute?
20.
We have 20 seconds. So in our last 20 seconds, I just want to say kids need sleep. They need like 10 hours of sleep. And so make sure that you are establishing a good sleep pattern for your kids and for yourself, because everybody does better when they get enough sleep.
That is so true. You have been listening to Your Health. My guest has been Dr. Tracy Erfling. She's a naturopathic physician who practices in Astoria. I'm Ann Goldine.